Everyone who came in here under any form of pressure, it is over now. Lift your hands and whisper that name, Jesus. Receive his visitation. Receive his encounter. Receive his visitation. Receive his encounter. Receive his visitation. Now! Thank you, Master. And thank you, Adonai. We worship you, Lord. With your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Your Master, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise, take your seat. There are already diverse visitations, diverse encounters. Thank you.
The old rugged cross. Here a trophy at last I lay. I will clean, I will clean. On a church, it's a church for a throne. So I'll carry the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will clean to the old rugged cross. I'll lift it each Sunday.
Verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Destiny destroying character, part 2. Our objective is to understand character traits that destroy destiny. We looked on Wednesday at the strong connection between a man's character and his destiny. That the strength of character determines the strength of destiny. How you behave affects what you become. We saw that in the life of Joseph. We saw that in the life of Esther. We saw that in the life of Daniel. And even Paul, the apostle. And so we want to identify specific character traits to avoid in order to become who God wants us to become. And the number one trait we are interested in is the original Luciferic pride that crushed him. It is called pride. The original Luciferic iniquity. We saw in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 and 19 in the first service, where he said, pride goeth before destruction. 16, 18, 19. And a haughty spirit before a fall. He said, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The meaning is, there is an easy way to know that a person is about to be destroyed when you see in them haughtiness. There is an easy way to know that a person is about to crash when you see pride. Now, another scripture we are looking at in this past, in this service, is Proverbs 29 and in verse 23. Very serious. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. That is, it doesn't matter how high the man is today. Pride shall bring him low. But if a person is humble in spirit, honor shall uphold him. We have examples of people destroyed by pride in scripture. We saw Lucifer in the first service, or individuals or personalities. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. I like us to read it again, just for the sake of it. He said, how art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, thou shalt be brought down to hell. to the sides of the pit. Lucifer, the son of the morning, became Satan, the prince of hell, at the frequency of pride. We saw Lucifer in the first service. We saw Nebuchadnezzar also in the first service. But we are going to look at two other personalities in this service that crashed at the frequency of pride. Our example, number one was Lucifer, number two was Nebuchadnezzar in the first service. But we are looking now at example, the first example for this, or the thought for today, was Queen Vashti. Pride was responsible for the dethronement and crash of Queen Vashti. She was the queen of the greatest empire in the earth at that time. That empire spanned from Ethiopia all the way to India. Over 120 provinces. Esther chapter 1 verse 10 to 12. The Bible said, on the seventh day when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bispha, Habona, Bigtha, Nabakza, Zithar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of the Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon, to look on. But the Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned within him. Some people said, why did the king ask the queen to come and show her beauty? Was that not a problem? Was that not, should she be arrogant? No. And they are saying, no, didn't she do the right thing? No, she didn't do the right thing at all. Whatever happens and whatever it is, it was not in her duty to reject the invitation of her husband before a crowd. She could discuss whatever the issues are later in the bedroom. But she was so proud, so arrogant, so ostentatious. Her beauty, her fairness entered her head. As a matter of fact, if you look in detail, you will realize that she was not just proud, but was also in competition with her husband. When the king hosted a feast, Queen Vashti, the Bible says, Queen Vashti also had a feast. When Esther became queen, she never struggled to have a feast to compete with her husband. Her husband organized Esther's feast for her. Queen Vashti organized her own with pride, with arrogance. And Queen Vashti the queen made it. Also, Vashti the queen, that also was the competitive language there. Made the feast as the king made his own. As Vashti also made her own in the royal house, which belonged not to Queen Vashti, but belonged to King Ahasuerus. What was the outcome? Verse 16 of Esther chapter 1, all the way to verse 20. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to everybody that is in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported that the king summoned Vashti to come and the queen refused to come. Then it means that rebellion shall break out throughout the empire. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt, too much disloyalty, too much rebellion, too much anger and wrath. If it please the king, let there go the royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for this is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and to small. Pride. Pride. Pride is a cause of losses in life. Listen to this. It is not possible to profit with pride. Life is never profitable where pride is allowed. Never. The only thing a person can get in life is losses where there is pride. Pride will cost you opportunity. Pride will cost you authority. And pride will cost you prosperity. Not long ago, I was going to assist a person and his wife to have a meeting with them, pray with them, and so on and so forth. They were coming from a distant place. And I said, so how are you going to come? He said, well, they have to come by road because they don't have fare to come by airfare. I said, all right, I'm going to assist you with the airfare to come. The answer he gave me was like, it was his right for me to give them the airfare to come. Okay, thanks. I said, really? All right, don't bother. Be on your way by road. When you come, we will see. So he hit the road by road. You know how beautiful Nigerian roads are. Instead of flying 1 hour to come, travel by road, maybe 6 or so, I don't know how many hours. He landed. I finished my schedule with him, and I sat him down. I said, you were meant to come by flight. But your reply, made me to allow you travel by road so you can understand what it means to be respectful and humble. Do you know what he told me? He said, you have pointed out the number one problem of my life. He was on his face. He said, this thing has closed doors for me. He said, it closed the doors of my life. He said, you just diagnosed my problem. He was on his face in tears, held my leg. I said, you know what? I actually made you to come despite your behavior. Because there were other communications, very, very nonchalant, very rude. I said to him, my mother who gave birth to me recognized the oil on my head. So then she began to call me father. My father. That's the mother who gave birth to me. I said, in the Catholic Church, if your son becomes priest, you call him father. That you gave birth to the child. That was how. And I saw the genuine, that is why it is good to confront things in love. I saw the genuineness of his heart. He said, you just pointed out my problem. See, I would have been farther than this now. I told him, God will help you recover all. So find out the airfare to travel back, which will be paid. And this is extra. So many thousand for you. Give your wife this and keep this. We shall be in communication. He has not recovered. He said there was opportunity one time many years ago. He was meant to be at the highest place of authority in this country. It closed. I deserve it. Am I communicating at all? You know, it is examples that communicate principles. The things I'm telling you, that these are practical life experience. Queen Vashti crashed. You will not crash. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I like us to be delivered from this entitlement mentality. Be delivered from this life of arrogance and haughtiness. possessed with a sense of humility and a sense of appreciation. Hallelujah. That was Queen Vashti. Our example number two will be King Herod. That one, it was death that came for him. He didn't just crash. Pride was responsible for the death of Herod. In Acts chapter 12, verse 21, Acts chapter 12, verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, this is the voice of a God. This is not the voice of a man. This cannot be a person. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eating of worms, and gave up the ghost. Pride can lead not only to a crash, but pride can be the foundation for death itself. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? It can be the foundation for death itself. I will give you some examples shortly. The question is, what is pride? I gave two definitions in the first service, and our time will not permit me now, so I'll go straight to the definition of pride in this service. First, pride is the worship of self. It is the worship of self. It is living a life that is practically centered on self. A life whose center of gravity is self. Everything revolves around this man. Me, myself, I. If you saw it in Lucifer, I will. When you see a man always talking, I, me. Ah. What is pride? What, God, where self becomes God? Pride. Secondly, pride is existence with an inflated ego. An egoistic, egocentric existence. Summary is, a proud person is essentially full of himself. Full of himself. The outcome is, he's empty of God. Moves about like a peacock. The climate of pride is very palpable. When you see them around you, you feel them around you. When they arrive, you just, the atmosphere changes. What is the outcome of pride? We just saw it in the scripture. We saw it in the first service. Pride goes before a fall. And a haughty spirit before destruction. Pride goes before a fall. And a haughty spirit before destruction. We read that in Proverbs 29, verse 23. Before a fall and a haughty spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Our father in the Lord told a story of a man who was with him in ministry at the beginning of his ministry. I heard a story from one of his associates. That man could preach. That man was very powerful. If Baba preached, he will preach. It's almost equally powerful. And then he became very arrogant. And when they said, Bro, come. Please, calm down. This pride will destroy you. Do you know his answer? Let it destroy me. Let it destroy me. That man is alive today. But I bet you, you won't know him. No voice, no impact, no generational relevance, existence without consequence. Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. I told the story of a man. His father in the Lord said, "Me who carried you at my back, is it me that you are talking to like this and looking down on like this? I carried you." The man said, "If you carried me, drop me from your back. Drop me." And his father said, "I drop you." That man didn't recover. Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit. Without any doubt, there are so many people who would have been further than where they are now, if not for pride. Number two, pride disconnects people from the presence of God. From the presence of God. Of course, you know that Lucifer left heaven because of pride. We saw that already. When you are full of self, you become empty of God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one is a proud look. A proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A proud look. A proud look. Proud look. Psalm 138 and in verse 6. Psalm 138 and in verse 6. He said, "Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect to the lowly, to the humble. But the proud he knoweth afar off." When the proud man is coming, God saw him at a distance. And God gives him distance. Even though the Lord is high up there, he has regard for people that are down. But arrogant, ostentatious, braggadocious people, he can identify them from a distance and give them the distance they desire. The question is, if God is absent from your life, what is your future? What is your, if God is absent? As I am now, if you have separated God from me, I am just zero. In John chapter 3 and in verse 30, John the beloved said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That is, if God must increase in your life, you must decrease. The I, the ego, the arrogant you must decrease. If God must increase in your life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. That is pride. Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, don't take us from here." Right? So the presence of God is the secret of the future. And pride disconnects you from that presence that guarantees your future. Pride disconnects you from that presence that guarantees your future. Then where is the future? There are so many talented people but stagnated. Because the talent entered their head. There are anointed people today that are completely frustrated because the anointing entered their head. Beautiful people that are totally stranded Because they want to eat the beauty. Are you following what I'm saying here today? That will never be your portion. Thirdly, pride deprives people of grace. We'll deal with that in the next service. It deprives people of grace. And where there is no grace, there can be no ease. We'll look at that in the fourth service. But the fourth point is that pride will cost people eternity with God in heaven. It costs people eternity. If Lucifer could not stay in heaven because of pride, who can enter heaven with pride? Who can enter heaven with pride? Someone say loud amen. Someone say louder amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, say amen like a believer. You shall succeed and we shall succeed. What is the treatment of pride? The revelation and realization of our nothingness without God. Nothing. Growing up as a Christian, there were certain scriptures that God used to deal with me. And these dealings brought me to a point, and is still dealing with me, where there is nothing that is too big to blow the head. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers, servants, by whom he believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, nor he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Paul is nothing. Apollos is nothing. Our ability equals nothing without divine enablement. Nothing. He said, it doesn't matter what you have, you are achieving. It is nothing. Nothing. Now, the 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 makes the point. He just pushes home the point. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? And if you received it, why are you glorying and boasting as if you didn't receive it? God gives me the grace to preach. He gives me the grace to teach. He gives me the grace to sing, to dance, to play instrument. He gives me the grace to see some healings. He gives me the grace to see a couple of things. Each of those graces impart greater humility. And I told somebody the other day, I said, every enablement is a responsibility unto accountability. Because you will give the account of everything he put in your life. So, who was born with a certificate in his hand? How did you determine the shape of your nose? How did you determine your height? What was it that made you determine your complexion? Or determine the father who gave birth to you? Or the family you were born into? That is making you to be proud. Who gave you singing voice? What voice training did you do in your mother's womb? That's the question. What will make it be to differ from another? You sabi book, who gave you brain? And who denied the other person brain? these questions, you get answers. It just calms you down. And then you realize that if you are more gifted than others, then you will be more judged than others. For to whom much is given. Much is given, much is required, much is demanded, much is required, much more. So don't compete yourself with other people because you don't have the same content. Will you give me the Living Bible version of that passage? First Corinthians 4:7, the Living Bible, New Living Translation, Message Bible. What are you puffed off about? Answer. What are you puffed off about? What are you raising your shoulder for? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why are you acting as though you are so great? And as though you have accomplished something on your own? These are scripture to write in these translations and put it on the wall somewhere. For who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? And even if they did, is there anything they would discover in you that you could take credit for? Isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of this comparing and competing? Point. You have the Living Bible. Or the New Living Translation. Calm down. Who made you superior to others? Good news. Didn't God give you everything you have? Well then, how can you boast as if what you have was not a gift? I will stay on these passages for days, looking at different translations. Just looking at it and then praying tongues for hours based on the light. People say God has done so much. Such big structure. A dome like this where people worship God. There is not a second one globally like this. Not a second one. That's a dome like this. Somebody said, so how are you? Calm. We achieve nothing. We achieve nothing. If I achieve something, how many people from my village did a thing like this? So if it was based on where I came from, I would tell you what we can achieve. Or from my whole territory. So what has been achieved? Nothing. If something was achieved, it is God. You know what Papa Yedeko said? Everything that is going well in my life, I did it. I mean, God did it. Everything going wrong, I am the one who did it. Anything that is correct in my life, God did it. Anyone that you don't like, I'm the one. Am I communicating? Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I am sorry for ever behaving like I am responsible for anything. I am sorry. That is a realization. My time is up. Number two is the revelation of God's glory through intimacy. When John saw Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 verse 17, when he saw his eyes as flame of fire, when he saw his hair, when he saw everything, he said, when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. Back up and let's see the glory that John saw that made him to feel like he was dead. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went, back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. His head and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and get about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. When you see his powerfulness, you will see your powerlessness. When you see him in his fullness, you will become acutely aware of your emptiness. The more of God we see, the less of self we manifest. All you are going to say is, Lord, let me know you more. Let me see you more. Deliver me from myself. Let me see you. Let me see you. Let me see you. You know, when I think there are still coins in existence, like 1 naira coin or something. When you hold a coin close enough to your eyes, it can even block the view of the sun. Is that true? But take it away and gaze at the sun. A time will come, you will never see that coin anymore. All the things we think we are, we think we are those things because we can't see God. The more of him you see, the less of yourself you are aware of. Am I communicating? And for many of us, pride is a hindrance to many things God would have loved to do. But you say, I can't. This one will just go straight to hell if I give him a little more money. If I give him position, he will just end straight like Lucifer. Finally, the revelation and the realization of what you were before God helped you. What you were. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 8. Paul, the apostle, said, unto me, who I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I am smaller than anybody you know in church, but see where I am. See where I am. See where I am. I am who I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. God saw my tendencies. He saw my proclivities. He saw what I... You see, for many of us, God deciding to use you was a very serious risk. Serious risk. That you can suddenly fail him. Suddenly mess up. Suddenly blunder. You see, I still trust you. You will do well if you remember some things. Am I communicating? Was it not a risk to carry a murderer and say, become the deliverer? Was it not a risk to carry David that was full of a lustful history? See, I trust you. Let me trust you to do well. So when you realize how much God took risk to choose you from your mother's womb, from your father's house, then you can say, Lord, your risk will be justified. Your trust won't fail. You won't trust me in vain. Hallelujah. This is it. The easiest way to reach where you are going is to remember where you are coming from. That I didn't bring myself so far I didn't help myself. I didn't even save myself. I didn't get myself born again. It is God. Stand up on your feet. Lift your hands. I will never, never stop my journey halfway, halfway until I reach my home, until I reach my home, until I reach my home, until the upstanding hands lifted. My home, I will never stop my journey halfway, halfway
until I reach my home, until I reach my home, oh Lord,
until I reach
my home.
I will never, never, never stop my journey halfway, halfway.
Until I reach my home, until I reach my home, until I reach my home, I will never, never, never stop my journey halfway. Halfway
until I reach.
Lift up your hands and say, Father, deliver me from pride, deliver me from arrogance, deliver me from anything that will cost me your presence. Deliver me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Stop my journey halfway, halfway until I reach my home, until I reach my home, until I reach my home, oh Lord, until I reach my home. Stop my journey halfway, halfway.
While that song is on, you're writing the service here and asking, Pastor, I need my sins forgiven. I need Jesus in my life. I need to be born again, not just from pride, but to be saved. Quickly pick your Bibles and pick your bags and come forward at the count of seven. While that is on, you rush forward quickly. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord. I want to give myself to God. I am far from God. I want to come to God. Quickly, pick your Bibles and come and come forward. I'll give you the count of seven. One. Two. Until I reach my home. Quickly, rush forward. Three. Be the first to come. I will never, never. Three. Four. Five. Six. Until I reach my home. Seven. Until I reach my home. Until I reach. I reach my home. Oh, I will never, 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 never stop my journey halfway, halfway.
Until I reach my home. Until I reach my home. journey halfway. Halfway on.
And everyone here today, you want to rededicate your life back to God. You want an addiction broken, a negative lifestyle broken, a yoke broken, a chain broken. Quickly carry your Bibles and carry your bags and come forward, join us. I am addicted to tobacco, to alcoholism, to marijuana, to pornography, to any negative lifestyle. Quickly step forward here and let us pray for you. I'll give you the count of seven in that case. Come quickly. One.
Until I reach my home. Until I reach my home. I will never, never. Until I reach my home.
What a crowd of people. Church, I want to congratulate us for going out on Saturday morning, going out during the week, evangelism department, every one of us. Let's keep going. Say, compel them to come that my house may be filled. Between now and the convention 25th anniversary, I believe that this place will be jammed overflow in three services in the name of Jesus Christ. Place your right hand on your chest, those of you in the front here. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.